Oh, intro video. And no intro video, Kaboom. What happened? Glitches all over the place this morning. Welcome in, my friends, to a brand new edition of Kabali and Mac. We need to get that intro video updated anyway, but welcome in. This is episode number 55. 55 of Kabali and Mac, all presented to you by our wonderful presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, Heck Team Homes. .com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They will take care of you. The whole team. Kabali disappeared. Where'd he go? What are you doing? Holy hell. Like a damn magician over there. Like Chris Angel.
The old vortex, right? What do they call that?
I don't know what the hell it's called, but you just gone for a second. Welcome in. We have a big guest on Mystery Guest Monday. Monday Mystery Guest. I don't know. I like alliteration for some dumb reason, probably because I'm a simpleton. Who didn't learn much about actual writing growing up in the old Baldwin High School newspaper, the Purbolite. I just know that when I hear words that start with the same letters next to each other, for some reason, it sticks in my head. So Mystery Guest Monday, maybe we'll have to make that a thing. Thanks to our good friends at Heck Team Homes.
I think, Mac, real quick, before we give some love to Heck, I think the cat might be out of the bag.
Maybe, because you just posted the story a minute ago.
And he's over the shoulder right now. So.
Well, I was trying to let it slide just a couple minutes longer for those that weren't paying attention or for those listening audio only, maybe on the podcast a little bit later down the road. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, though, like I said, the people to get a hold of are Dan and Michelle Heck, Jeremy Heck, their entire team, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia. They are buying and selling homes like crazy this time of year. And the whole team is there to help you. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. I mentioned this on Thursday, the last time we conversed, but we are progressing towards 1,500 subscribers on YouTube. We are now just 111 away. Last I checked this morning, we had 1,389 subscribers. When we get to 1,500, we will give away the autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet, which they are also Penn State. More than happy to email people asking for money for these new club seats. I just got an email this morning. They're doing the addition to the west side, the press box, old press box side of the stadium, and they're trying to sell club seats for amounts of money that are just ludicrous, that I'll never be able to afford. But if you win, maybe if you win an autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet, you could sell it or trade it for some Penn State tickets. Kaboom. How about that?
I'm not interested.
God damn. When's the last time you went to a college football game? I'm just curious.
Maybe the last one at Three Rivers Stadium.
Are you serious? The Rod Rutherford game?
Yeah.
Is that seriously the last college football game you went to?
Yeah, I believe so.
How much do you watch on Saturdays in the fall?
Well, a lot of times I'm traveling.
Right, that's true.
So it's really hard to see, unless it's a
making the drive to Baltimore or Cleveland or Cincinnati.
Unless it's a night game in a away city. But that's about it. I'm not going to sit there and take notes on LSU versus South Carolina, if that's what you're asking.
I'm not asking if you take notes. I'm just asking how much you get to watch. I love college football. I absolutely love it as much as I like the NFL. I just like ball. And so Saturdays, I love having college football on all day, especially if Penn State's playing. Or I'll be honest, I know people think I'm crazy for saying this. If Pitt or West Virginia are on in a separate time slot, I'll pay attention to those games, obviously. I'll split the screen sometimes to see what those teams are doing if they're playing at the same time as Penn State. I just like college ball. So, I don't know. I was just curious. I know you did get to Heinz Field this weekend, though.
Oh, yeah. Monster Jam.
Monster Jam. You went to Monster Jam. I went to Pearl Jam over the weekend. Two very different kinds of jams.
There was more people at my jam than yours.
I saw some of those pics you were posting.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, the end zone bench seats were closed and the away side upper deck was closed. Other than that, it looked like a pit game. So, yeah. So,
So there was probably more people at Pearl Jam on Friday, like me and
30 some.
Our guy Justin on YouTube. He was there Friday too. It was a great show. They played two shows Friday night and again last night. I was not going twice in 3 days. That's a big one.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big Pearl Jam guy. I have all the albums. I was
favorite Pearl Jam song.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say favorite, but the one that put him on the map had to be Jeremy, right?
Yeah. My one friend who we were there with, he was real excited for Jeremy.
I'm a big black guy.
Black, yeah. Corduroy is my favorite. Finally got to see it live, which was awesome on Friday night. They started Jeremy on Friday night, and then I guess somebody had passed out in the crowd in the pit. Ooh. So they had to stop it like 45 seconds in and help somebody get out of the crowd so they could take care of them. But my buddy who was there next to me had never seen them do Jeremy live. And was for a second thought they might, you know, just pop out of it and skip it, but they ended up going back and starting the whole song.
Any Temple of the Dog?
I saw they did Hunger Strike last night though, which really? I'm disappointed I didn't get to see. It was a great job by the crowd in the video I saw of harmonizing and doing the Chris Cornell side while Eddie continued to do his side, and they had an image of Chris Cornell up on the screen at the same time. It was really, really cool. Yeah.
Very, very basic lyrics to that song. I mean, there has to be 20 words, right? 20 words total in that entire song, but one of the better songs.
Oh, yeah. It's
single soundtrack. You don't think I know this stuff, man?
You know Pearl Jam. I'm impressed, man. This is the first music of yours that you've referenced that I didn't go, what are you talking about?
Metallica?
Metallica and Pearl Jam. I need to re-go to Metallica because the last time they were here at PNC Park a few years ago, I just got bombed and don't really remember much of it.
What do you mean 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
When was it?
Oh, I thought they were they were with Greta Van Fleet.
Yes, I remember Greta Van Fleet. Yeah. They were awesome. And then the alcohol kicked in and your boy doesn't remember much of the Metallica set. Yeah,
that was my... I had the torn Achilles, so I was in the front row, PNC Park.
Ooh.
Seats provided by a gentleman that may now be my boss or not.
Ah, I see. So you are okay asking for stuff sometimes.
No, they just gave it to me there.
Wow.
I might have mentioned it one on their show, and all of a sudden it popped up in my email. I'm like, what is this?
Nice surprise. So you had the Monster Jam, the kiddo, the boy liked the Monster Jam.
Yeah, well, you know, it was very, interesting. It was very
different than seeing it at the arena. Definitely.
It's the first time I've gone. Well, it was, I want to say good or anything because I didn't know what the hell was going on, but it was exciting.
Monster trucks smashing shit and doing flips. What else do you need?
They did some racing. The good thing about it is apparently this was the last in the series. I guess they have a series,
They have a tour.
Yeah, and my kid's favorite is Gravedigger.
Oh.
And I finally figure out the guy's name, Tyler Meninga or something like Meninga, something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe I should have looked that name up. I think I might have screwed up. not as you think it is.
Meninga. Yeah, it's Meninga.
He won his seventh in a row by winning. Then at the end, they had a freestyle, and they just tore those trucks to shreds.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, I mean, before you know it, there was nothing left on them. All it was a chassis. But they're doing backflips and all this crap. I mean, those guys are talented, man.
Torsha just wanted to make sure that you got Tyler's name.
Meninga.
Yeah. Okay. That could have gone sideways.
That's what I'm talking about. Tyler Meninga. Seventh in a row. I mean, very talented, man. Those guys are taking those monster trucks and whipping them around that arena.
It's good stuff.
You have to have talent to do that.
It's a skill. Yeah. It's honestly definitely a skill.
There was 12 different trucks and obviously 12 different drivers.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell when Gravedigger, he was able to control the truck a lot better than some of the other ones. So.
Yeah, I don't know how they drive those things, man, with the giant ass tires and they're bouncing around. Fire.
Yeah, that was some great stuff.
Thanks also, as always, to another one of our fantastic sponsors, Southwest Greens. Southwestgreenspa.com is the website. You want to go check it out. If you're tired of dealing with all the maintenance issues with your yard, right? You're tired of cutting the grass. I got to cut my grass again. I just didn't feel like doing it over the weekend, so now it's too long. And then you got to water it during the dead of summer, and you got to spray stuff on it to make sure it's not all weeds, and then this and that and the other thing. And you get tired of it, right? Get the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Get a beautiful artificial lawn from Southwest Greens. Southwestgreenspa.com. They do it up right. It looks great. It looks real. Feels real. Kids, they can play on it, obviously. Good for pets. The pets do what pets do. Washes off just like it would a regular yard. If you want to do the whole yard, you just want to do a small area. Putting greens, maybe something just around the pool deck, or maybe something around the kids' swing set. All available, but you got to get a hold of them. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. We appreciate their support of the show. We will get to our Monday mystery guest, who is no longer a mystery, Mason Rudolph.
And it's not Tyler Meninga. You better not.
Just be slow down when you say it.
You better.
When you say it too fast. You start to verge on the edge of something that is going to get us all canceled. Okay.
Don't be cutting no reel on that. Or
I'm anything. Not. I'm not. I'm staying away from that one.
I said it correctly. I put the emphasis on the wrong end, I guess.
Okay. We got it together now, though. I think we're good. All right. So we'll get to the mystery Monday mystery guest in just a moment, who, like we said, is no longer a mystery. We were able to talk to Mason Rudolph yesterday for about a half hour. Mason's very polished. Mason knows exactly what to say and what not to say. He's been doing this long enough, and he's been in sticky situations as far as rosters and depth charts go long enough here in this town that he knows exactly how to handle all the questions. Nonetheless, we asked him all the questions I think we could ask him, and you'll hear all of his answers in just a few minutes. I did want to touch on a couple things because it's going down tomorrow and Wednesday in Minnesota, Kaboom. I don't think you're headed to the land of 10,000 lakes, but there are NFL owners meetings happening tomorrow and Wednesday in Minneapolis. And there are three things on the docket for them that they'll be voting on that I have two of them. I have pretty clear opinions on. The third one, I don't really care as much. The tush push is being brought up for a vote again to see if they can get it banned. The Lions want to introduce the idea of reseeding the playoff teams based on record. And you'll get in if you win your division, but if you're 9-8, you're not going to be seeded ahead of a team who's maybe, 13-4, as we saw this past year. And players possibly playing flag football in the 2028 Olympics in LA. Those are the three big things that are going to get votes this week. I'll start with the tush push. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't, it's just because the Eagles have perfected it doesn't mean the league should ban it.
Are we talking about what will happen or what should happen?
Both.
Well, what was going to happen, it's going to be past flying colors, I guess, if that's what you call it. There will be no more tush push here.
Really?
No. It was should have been done in March, but they just held off. But they might only need another vote, and I'm quite sure that they've gotten that. So that's going to be outlawed. And yeah, you got to feel, I don't know if you feel bad for the Eagles because everybody has that same opportunity, but you put it under that umbrella of player safety. And what are you going to do? And that's what they're going to do. Players.
How many people have gotten hurt on the tush push so far?
But they have a reason to do it or an excuse to explain why they did it. Well, it's safety issues, even though I don't think there's any hard evidence to prove it.
There's none. There's zero hard evidence. It's not you think there is. There just isn't. There have been no catastrophic injuries. But it does not add any high-speed collisions to the game. But it's just it's banning a play because it's not throwing the ball. It's not pretty football. And one team has perfected it, and no one else has been able to figure out how to stop them.
Well, do you put up nets around Heinz or around PNC Park because of nobody got hurt, or you're just hoping to prevent that?
No, you put up nets because you've seen people get hurt in other cities and places. Same thing happened. It took the NHL until a little kid was killed in Columbus, I think it was, to say, hey, we're going to throw nets up behind the glass on either end zone so that deflected slap shots don't bust people's skulls. Mm-hmm. And it happened in one place, and then it proliferated around the rest of the league. This hasn't even been – like, I brought up the comparison to the Buster Posey rule, the lack of home plate collisions when that was legislated out of baseball a while back. It happened in one spot. They took it out. I don't agree with it, but we haven't even seen the one injury yet because of the tush push.
Yeah, but do we wait until that injury and say, darn it, we should have did it? Well, I'm telling you, that's probably what they're going to present it as. Hey, we're doing preventative measure here. But the bottom line is the Eagles have perfected it to a point where it has become imbalanced, unfair, so to speak. All the other teams have the ability to do that, but nobody else does it as well. So if you're Eagles, you got to feel – honestly, it looks like to me, obviously the Eagles will be upset. I don't think anybody else really cares. I don't think the Bills are going to lose any sleep over it. There might be some
– no, because they don't know how to run it for whatever reason.
There might be some offensive linemen, even in Philly, saying, yes, I don't have to have 13 people laying on top of me after these plays, very quietly.
Yeah. I don't know. That and
the boring too, man.
I get it's boring, you were playing, but it's still football. Like football was boring in the 70s. There wasn't a lot of explosive offense. But was it still football?
They were designing offenses to go third and four just so they can get the third, fourth and two. And I don't think that was the sense of how they want the game to be played as well.
I know it's not how they want the game to be played. Obviously. They want the game to be flag football.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Well, hold the thought on flag football in the Olympics. The playoff reseeding based on records, I hate it. And Schrager actually brought this up this morning on ESPN. I think it was him. It ruins division rivalries. I shouldn't say it ruins them, but it takes a lot of oomph out of the division rivalries and the fact that you have teams. What's Mike Tomlin say every year when they fall short in the playoffs or they lose to the Ravens at some point?
Division games, man. You got to win your division games.
You got to win your division games, and you got to build your team to beat the guys in your division. That's step one to the offseason every year. What did the Steelers do this year? They built after they got steamrolled by Derrick freaking Henry in the playoffs, they decided, yeah, you know what? We could probably use a young quarterback, but we are going after D-line. We are not going to let ourselves get steamrolled anymore. We can't continue to let it happen. We know we're going to face Derrick Henry twice a year, and we're going to stop it. We got to beat the Ravens to go anywhere at some point. So they build their roster as such. And you see it around the rest of the AFC North, right? Every division has a little bit of its own personality in some cases based on who the best team in that division is, who the team to beat is. And you take away the importance of winning that division if you don't even get a home playoff game for winning your division.
Let's call it for what it is. The Detroit Lions are covering their own rear end. They're playing the best division in NFL with the Vikings and the Bears and upcoming and the Packers. They don't want to be a team that could be 14-2 and be not a three seed, so to speak, like sort of like what happened to the Vikings last
year. What happened to the Vikings last year? And I do understand the perspective. I understand the perspective of if you want to use the argument, hey, we don't want week 18 to look like exhibition football because 90% of the teams in the league have their fates decided. Like, for example, the Rams sat everybody in week 18 last year because they knew they were going to be the third or fourth seed and it didn't really matter. Had they needed to, could they have improved their seed from, say, a 5 or a 6 or a 6 or a 7 up to a 4 or a 5 or even a 3 or a 4 and gotten a home playoff game? Maybe they play that game differently. Okay, you can start to get me halfway there with that argument, but it still completely eliminates the importance of divisional games. And I would say the AFC North is as deep a division over the last decade and a half as any other in the league. Teams that just beat the shit out of each other every single year. And you don't hear anybody in the AFC North complaining about, oh, we need to reseed. We deserve that. No, you win your division and you get a home playoff game, or you don't win your division and you still get in and you got to go on the road because you couldn't beat the best team in your division.
And even if what you're saying is true, it doesn't prevent a coach in week 18, even if they can move from a 5 to a 4. Maybe it would be a little different if it's a home game or not, but they would much rather sit people and go in healthy than, you know, move up a spot. I mean, obviously it depends if that spot has a home game attached with it. So I don't even know it would have its effect, the effect that they're looking for, even if they do pass this. I don't think it will.
I don't think so either.
I think you got too many old school traditionalists that will say, nah, we're not doing this. We'll give you the push, but we're not giving you this.
Speaking of old school owners, I'm curious to see what their take is on allowing players to play flag football at the Olympics in 3 years.
Who wants to do that, though?
I mean, there's guys that have expressed interest. I mean, especially quarterbacks and receivers, skill position guys. Look, it's going to take place literally right before training camp, or as training camps are opening around the league, I believe. The 2028 Olympics in LA, I want to say, are late July, early August. I don't know the exact dates if they've even been set at this point, but that's traditionally when the Summer Olympics are. Are there that many countries that are going to be fielding flag football teams that this isn't just going to turn into like the 92 Dream Team in Barcelona, where they're just going to stomp guys? Like, are you telling me Poland is going to put up a great flag football team against the U.S.?
Maybe until Australia comes in and whips their butt, then you'll be sitting there complaining that
there's no punting in flag football.
It's very similar to the game, right? I mean, even soccer to a degree, right? Or football.
Football. But yeah, I mean, I don't think owners are going to be excited about their best players, which are going to be the ones. And apparently part of the caveat would be only a team could only have one player selected. They couldn't have multiple players selected. But still, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, are you excited about Lamar Jackson going off at the beginning of training camp to play flag football against a bunch of dudes from Australia and Great Britain and France? Like, no, especially because that's where one of those non-contact injuries can happen. An ACL gets blown and your season's down the drain.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of these contracts have avoidable stuff written in there. If you get hurt while not participating in a team activity, you have to forfeit your money. As long as they know that going in, then yeah. I mean, I just don't know if you're Lamar Jackson or I'm trying to think here, Ashton Gentry, whoever it might be, even younger, would be willing to take that risk. Maybe you're getting lower level, mid-level players to take that risk. I mean, maybe Calvin Austin would be a great, great guy that would want to go over, but, you know, it all have to be contract year, so I just don't think you're going to get the high-level guys that would be willing to risk what they're risking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Again, the owners will vote on it this week. I imagine this might be one of those things they table to a future vote to try and gain some more information and maybe gauge interest around the league on whether guys actually are interested in doing it or not, or whether they want to be a part of it, or whether it would be, you know, like you said, second and third tier guys, and maybe the owners then don't care as much. But when Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson want to go play flag football in the Olympics, it can definitely change the way the owners are looking at it. Don't forget, even though the weather doesn't feel like it right now, it's going to get hot this summer. You want to make sure your AC is working. Get a hold of the fine folks at Impact HVAC. You can give them a call at 412-297-1852. They'll come out. They'll give your AC a check before the temps really start to warm up. If something's broken, they'll tell you. They'll get it fixed. They'll always do their best to make sure everything is working. If it's not, they fix and replace it. Impact HVAC, PGH, they replaced our furnace just a couple months ago. Did a great job. It was right at the end of the season when it was still a little chilly out. So we're taken care of now. We're ahead of the game. We'll get them out here to check everything out later this fall. But we're good. You want to make sure you're good so you're not sweating your rear end off come this summer. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. We thank them for being sponsors of Cabali and Mac. So, Monday mystery guest is no more, Kaboom. He is not a mystery. Everybody sees Mason Rudolph behind you on the graphic. He was in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and we worked it out that we were able to talk to Mason at length yesterday afternoon before you had to go to a dance recital for your daughter and I had to go to softball practice pickup for my daughter. And like I said, Mason knows the right way to answer all of these questions and handled it extremely well, but it was great to talk to him.
He slipped a couple in.
It's a little here and there.
I'm starting to notice something that happens with all of our guests now. They tend to like take shots at me. What's up with that?
I don't know.
I mean,
what it is? Mason says it too. So I'll just let him say it, but there's something about people like you. So they feel like they can tease you, they can kid you, and you'll take it in stride, you know?
No, nobody got my Hoka shoe reference.
No, but that's a part of the conversation as well. Here it is. We talked to Mason Rudolph yesterday afternoon for you right now on Cabali and Mac. Is making us look a whole lot worse in comparison. The always fantastic Mason Rudolph here on Cabali and Mac. How are you, my friend?
Chris, Mark, I'm great. It's great to be with you guys. How's your Sunday afternoon going? What's going on?
A whole lot better now. We appreciate you taking the time. Cabali's got a dance recital to run to. I got softball practice pickup, and we know you got a lot going on. You're on the road taking advantage of the last few days and weeks before OTAs get moving here. So
let's do the obligatory, Mac. You said I'm going to a recital here. It is Sunday afternoon. Go ahead, Mason. Make your I'm going to fall asleep at the recital joke.
You're family man, Mark. What else can people ask for? You're putting your family first on a weekend, but you're also working. I mean, you're versatile. You're taking care of business.
But if I take a little nap, that's okay, right?
Absolutely. As any man should on a Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, it's a day of rest, right? Like, If you choose to just rest your eyes a little bit, Kaboom, in between recital numbers while your daughter isn't necessarily on stage, nobody's going to fault you for that.
He's used to resting. He's had a history of resting, especially during interviews. So he knows how to rest.
Fake news.
Fake news. Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Mason. I think you can understand why Steelers fans are so interested in talking to quarterbacks this offseason, given everything that's been talked about. And let's just start there. Like, what led you to come back to Pittsburgh this off season when the opportunity presented itself?
Yeah, I spoke to Omar and my agent. They had some communication through free agency, when it started there. And I thought the direction they were moving, their roster, the comfortability I have with the city, the familiarity with, probably still like 60% of the roster. That was just all attractive. I did enjoy the time in Tennessee. I learned a lot from Brian Callahan and Nick Holtz and Bo Hardigree on the offensive side there and enjoyed the time. And it was just good for like perspective obviously we had a tough season, but just to be with a different staff, and I think just new experiences, new faces, and new teachers, new way of installing offense, and new concepts. But I think it makes me appreciate Pittsburgh and the way that we do things here, and the way that the front office operates and the ownership. I mean, just top down. That's I think you gotta sometimes you gotta getting an outside fresh perspective makes you appreciate, you know, what we have in Pittsburgh here so much more.
Mason, what did they tell you? Did they tell you what their plans were, where they want you to fit in at? What were your questions to them when they approached you and said, we want you back?
Yeah, I think they were, they know what I can do, what we were able to do there towards the end of 2023. And, they're confident in me. They know I can play well when asked of me, when my number's called. And so, but there wasn't a whole, I didn't really get into, I assumed they were going to sign people and add to the roster. Like they always go to training camp with four quarterbacks. So that wasn't, I knew that going in and, I'm respect the privacy of what Omar told me specifically, but that's for him to decide whenever he wants to, or whenever they add a fourth. So, but I've enjoyed just, doing my job, getting to know Arthur Smith, Tom Arth, over the last month or so, and learning the new offense, working with the receivers. It's been a lot of fun.
Was there, you mentioned the end of 2023, Mason, and there were a couple opportunities you had to start multiple weeks in a row during your time here in Pittsburgh, where for whatever reason, whether it was 19 when Ben was out or other opportunities where it felt like, at least in my opinion, I don't know if other people agree, and I'm not going to ask you to give your opinion on it, that you didn't necessarily get the full length of rope or leash that maybe you could have gotten in certain situations, or that fans didn't necessarily, until the Christmas Eve game, really, fans didn't really appreciate what you had done to that point, maybe the way they could have. Did you ever feel like that? Was there ever like a sting when you left after 2023 that, man, if you guys wanted me back, you know what I'm capable of, like you just said, and I really think we could take a step forward here.
Yeah, I think that everything happens for a reason, and I look back at 2022 the large portion of 2023 with, am I competitive? Would I have liked to have played more of those 2 years and have started more games? Absolutely. But I think, the adversity that was with, being a three for all of 2022 and having to, barely getting any reps and having to stay in it mentally. And that was just like the best adversity you could ask for. And that's the way I looked at it, because that's the only way you can look at it to keep your mind, positive. And so I, no regrets about the way things went down. I was just grateful that I got an opportunity to play, extend my career, and win some games with the guys I love in Pittsburgh, and looking forward to doing that again this year.
Mason, we've been here 3, 4, 5 minutes already, and we haven't said those words yet. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, you're well aware of the news out there. If he ends up signing, or whoever signs as the number four, as you said, how do you approach it? Do you approach it as, hey, they got to beat me out? It's a competition. How do you view that?
I've always viewed, training camp as, competition is so normal that it's, I'm so used to it now. Every team's adding quarterbacks every year. It's just a normal motor operation. Whoever they bring in, who it is will determine. I learned a long time ago who it is, and then the financial compensation will really tell you what's going to go down as far as a depth chart. So I get that, and I'm all I really can do is cliche and annoying as it sounds, is just keep having a great spring and enjoying working with the receivers, learning the offense, making the most of every rep I can get. And that's what I did in 2023. And that's what I've done my whole career. And you get opportunities, and then you just got to be ready to capitalize when they come. And that means, starting, or backing up. I can do that whole song and dance. And I'm confident that I can play well and win games when my number's called. So I'm going to keep taking it day by day. We'll see what happens.
Kaboom mentioned Rodgers, obviously, and you mentioned working with receivers. And one of the things we've already seen about a month ago or so was that Aaron was throwing to DK Metcalf out in LA. You, as you pointed out, have a relationship with a lot of guys on the roster already, but there has been a decent amount of turnover at that position in particular, receiver. Yeah. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the guys, whether you knew them previously, like Pat Freiermuth, or have any of the new guys, DK, for example, have you had a chance to talk to anybody or approach the opportunity for working with anybody yet before OTAs?
Yeah, I got to Pittsburgh like a week early and got to work with Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson and Pat. They were all there, you know, early on, even before the start of phase one. So that was great. DK came for the first couple weeks of phase one. I mean, got to work with him. He is, I mean, just a seems like the ultimate professional, like, you know, up early in the building, one of the first in the building, working hard, you know, in the weight room, very like open to feedback and very conversational, very, very articulate. And then just, I mean, throwing to him on the field. I don't think I've ever thrown to such a big target. I mean, it's impressive to see him work. So Calvin Austin looks great. Pat's always in great shape. Roman Wilson looks really, you know, back healthy. So Jalen Warren's doing well. So it's a great skill group, and it's been a joy to work with them.
Whoever they bring in, you've been part of this organization for a bunch of years. You have a month plus already of on the field action, or at least interaction with the players already. You got Will Howard, who's a young guy, and Skylar Thompson, a young guy. Do you feel like you're ahead of the game here, regardless of who they bring in, because you've been there, done that, getting to know the system, getting to know the guys?
Yeah, I think it's been a good month to learn what Arthur wants to do. You know, his philosophy, what they expect from the position, and just how he sees the game, his tendencies as a play caller, kind of learned a little bit about that, even as much as you can without actually having him call your plays in the headset during practice. But it's been a good spring. I'm just be great to be back in Pittsburgh, see a lot of familiar faces. I got a lot of good friends. I just got to see DeCastro the other day, guys like him that are former Steelers that still live in Pittsburgh, who are, you know, they were sort of mentors to me when I came in early. And it's just a good group of guys. Minka was back last week. So good group of guys. And I just feel like it's just good to be back home.
DeCastro and Villanueva did that thing that offensive linemen do after they're done playing, where they like shrink to half the size.
100%. They look great. Yeah, they're big fishermen, and they were just up in Wisconsin doing some, like, I don't think it was ice fishing, like a month ago. I don't think there was still ice up there, but they're good friends, and we're still close. They're living the desirable post career NFL lineman life, where they're. You know, I'm sure their wives are pretty happy about them shedding about 100 pounds.
I know.
I want to ask you this, Mason, because you mentioned the idea of the younger guys, you know, like Will Howard, obviously, at your position, regardless of, again, whoever the other quarterback ends up being who comes in to join you guys during training camp, and what that scenario is like going forward. Do you feel like you would do things the same, differently? How would you adjust how you would sort of mentor? I know Kabali hates when I use this phrase about more veteran quarterbacks dealing with younger quarterbacks, but like how would you deal with a younger quarterback in the room differently than maybe it went for you when you first came into the league?
Yeah, I've met Will, and then I think last week was the first time he was in after rookie minicamp, and seems like a great dude. You know, comes from a good family, and you know, hardworking, hardworking guy, got a really good attitude. Skylar Thompson, you know, got to meet him, played against him in the Big 12 when he was at K-State, and then worked with him the last month. So good guys. You know, I would try to be as helpful as I can to the younger guys, and meeting them quickly, it'll be smooth sailing. They're really good human beings and hard workers, and whoever, like you said, whoever will be the fourth, I've never had any problems making new friends in the quarterback room. So that'll be easy.
How aware are you of how much this fan base now has your back? And is that a surprise considering 3, 4, 5 years ago, it might've been the other way around? I mean, they weren't maybe the biggest Mason fan, but I probably don't have to tell you that. Now they're like, forget everybody else. We want number two. I mean, what's that like? And did you ever see that coming?
You know, I think I didn't, life ebbs and flows, and your sports career is no different. So there's been times, like you said, I've been in the outhouse and in the penthouse and the 412, and it's I've tried to just take it as it comes and stay even keel, and we've got some incredible, you really find out going to another team, how rabid and fanatic, Steelers fans are, Yinzers. And so it's just, you want to be a part of a program and a team and a franchise that has this just incessant, there's a million, like fan accounts, and there's constant like, Steelers Twitter and just stories and fake headlines. And I mean, people just digest it nonstop and they love it. I mean, you guys put it out there for them. So,
Cabali's fault.
Yeah, it is. So, it's just a really fun place to play football.
What's the reaction been amongst your friends and family? Because the internet reaction to the goatee this off season has been really interesting. People are all about it, man. People love the goateed Mason.
Cam Hayward loved it.
Yeah, Cam. Cam's funny. I had alopecia, kind of came out of nowhere on my face a couple of years ago, and I really couldn't grow a lot of facial hair before that, but it totally wiped it out, and I had these like random bald spots, and that just went away. And so I a few months ago I just thought I'd kind of let myself go, Mark, just let it go. And
way to go, Mac. Way to make him admit that he had some
trying it out
skin disorder. Thanks, buddy.
All right, sorry.
Mason looks good either way, Mark. Look, facial hair, no facial hair, people love the look either way. It's just too kind.
What about you? You're a clean shaven guy, Mark.
He's just gray. I just cut. I just shaved because mine does turn all patchy gray. What's it called for having hair that's patchy gray? I guess that's being an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little touch of gray, a little George.
I can't do that. I can't do that because I've already went too far the other end. You can't come back like full Joe Paterno now, Just can't do that.
A little salt and pepper. I think you could get away with it.
I can't wait to see the transition here. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Please, man. I'm a trained professional. Let me handle this. You mentioned the difference between the Steelers fan base and what it was like in Tennessee. Not to knock Titans fans at all, definitely, but like it is. It's different, a Steelers fan base and some other fan bases. So just what was last year like? Again, you're in that case sort of the veteran there with a young guy coming in who everybody presumes is going to be the man going forward, but Will had his struggles, obviously, at times last year. How hard was it to sort of balance that role of, hey, you want to be, like you said, a supportive teammate, especially in the quarterback room, but then you're getting your opportunities as well. How hard is it to balance that?
Yeah, it's kind of life as usual in my shoes the last few years. I was the veteran. It was the first time I was the oldest guy in the room, in a room in my career. And so, enjoyed helping Will any way I could, and then and then playing when your number gets called, always being ready and always making sure that, you know, the coaches, the play caller Brian had a list of things that I liked, you know, that was maybe slightly different than other guys, and you know, when my number's called, hey, here's some things I'm comfortable with, here's some concepts I like, and so it was a year full of adversity and a lot of lessons learned, but some great relationships. Really enjoyed playing for Brian and Coach Callie and his father, the legendary offensive line coach, and so a lot of good football relationships made, and continue to stay in touch with those guys.
Mason, the experts say, hey, Mason's, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback, but he hasn't played a full season since what, your OK State years. How difficult would that be, or would it be difficult to have a whole season under your belt? Is that any fair criticism at all of, hey, this guy's good, but we've only seen him in spurts so far. We haven't seen that full season yet, at least in the pros.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fair criticism because, you know, until you do it, there's going to be questions. I completely understand that. I just think, like, your first couple of years in the NFL, you're just learning so much. And, didn't have a quarterback coach my first 2 years here. But had a lot of veteran players who, you know, helped. Randy Finkner was great for me. But you look back and you're just like, the things I was worried about then are not the things I'm worried about right now with my job, with throwing the ball and commanding of an offense. And so, I just think I've matured quite a bit and a lot more experience, and I could absolutely tackle a full season. If that ends up happening or, you know, close, you know, or more than I've played, I think I'm, you know, battle tested and ready to do that if I have to do it.
What are some of the things about Arthur Smith's offense as you start to dive into it that you think can work to your advantage?
Yeah, he loves to run the ball. He loves to, you know, that's his philosophy is pound it, play action. And then he's got, you know, a lot of the similar drop back concepts we had in Tennessee that Brian brought from Cincinnati. I think Coach Callahan was very drop back minded, just being with those cats in Cincinnati and the you know, two stud receivers in Burrow and just that was their bread and butter, where I feel like, I think Arthur's more, you know, play action, hunting chunks down the field, which is also something Mike T loves. And then, you know, controlling the ball, you know, running the ball and obviously mixing it of, you know, moving the pocket, nakeds, bootlegs, and then some drop back. And so I've enjoyed it. Learning about what he wants to do. I think it fits my game and I'm just been enjoying the installations and hearing him talk and hearing him think.
You think a younger Mason could have handled this situation? When I talk about this situation is, you know, right now you're the number one, in a blink, depends on who they bring in, you might be second fiddle. I mean, that might be something you can not accept, but deal with better now than maybe a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think, this business hardens you and you just, you know, I've been through that before, you know, in 2022 and feeling like, okay, I got a shot to really be the guy this year. And they bring in Mitch and Kenny, who are now, you know, good friends of mine, you know, we stay in touch quite a bit but, you know, I've been through that, you know, that adversity, and I stayed the course, kept working, which is all you can do. And I'm ready to pivot and adapt, but I'm also confident I can win games and do the job. And with the guys we got, the roster we got, Omar's and Mike T put together, it's a great team. It's a good defense. It's a good young offensive line, a lot of skill positions. So it's an exciting time to be back in Pittsburgh.
Were you salivating like a lot of us were, Mason, at the idea of having Pickens and Metcalf in the same offense? And I guess, was there any kind of level of disappointment when you heard about the trade of George to Dallas?
Yeah. I mean, I love George and, you know, I enjoyed going to work with him. He was a fun personality. You know, I think tried to feed him as much as I could, you know, when we play, because good things tended to happen when you did, but, you know, I understand the way things go. And there's, you know, there was just a need for, I guess, from a fresh start, things and way they transpired last year, I guess. So we're moving forward with the guys we got on this roster. DK's been, like I said, he is a pro's pro, and, really just the way he takes care of his body and how inquisitive he is asking questions. And, you know, Calvin, Pat, Roman, you know, Brandon has been a solid add this offseason. And so it's a good group of guys, and just looking forward to when we start practice here in a couple of weeks going against the defense.
Mm. That end of the, what was that, 2 years ago, Seattle, Cincinnati, I think Baltimore, how much did that just help your psyche? I mean, knowing that you went out there in the biggest situation and was able to produce at an extremely high level.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, just fun to play football again and you know, help our team get into the playoffs and you know, win some games on the road, you know, in tough environments. So it was fun. I think I've talked enough about that. It sort of seemed like a long time ago, but I'm interested in recreating those same memories and situations in the future and you know, finishing up this off season to put myself and our team in a good position to do that.
I know I mentioned the Christmas Eve game a little bit earlier when we were talking about some of the roller coaster ups and downs here in Pittsburgh your first time through, and it's been a while. And like you said, you know, you're moving forward into the situation as it exists now, but was that, that had to be a little bit of a, yeah, see, this is what I can do, guys, kind of moment, not just for the fans and the team, but like just in general, like, hey, you know, here we are at a point in the season where the team needed a win. And you get thrown into the mix and you get that opportunity in a big moment. And they're, you know, whether it's corny or not, they're playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the whole damn stadium singing along to it. Like that was, you know, Mark brought up earlier, Mason, the idea that the fan base is very much behind you now. And that felt like a pivot point, a really big pivot point for your time as a Pittsburgh Steeler. How do you look back on that night in particular individually? And then just in general, what it's meant to kind of your journey and maybe even if it played any kind of part in you wanting to come back to Pittsburgh and to kind of revisit those highs that you had when you were here.
Yeah, I think it absolutely played a part. I mean, it was probably, you know, the reason that Omar and Coach D wanted to bring me back in the first place. But absolutely meant a lot to me, my family. I mean, it was just a heck of a fun ride there at the end of the year. I think it was Christmas Eve, a couple of games before, you know, home game. It was just a lot of fun and to have your parents in the stands and friends and family and you get a fun win right like that in front of the Yinzer crowd was a great memory that I'll enjoy. But yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm not gonna sit back and reflect on that and say, oh, I've done that. It's you know, I can take a breath. And no, like, I mean, I want to win more games, and I want to help our team win. And like you said, get back to those mountaintop moments with your teammates celebrating.
I know your teammates speak glowingly of you. They love you. Do you think that's because of your personality, or as I like to put it when it concerns you, is, yeah, crawled through with a river of shit and came out clean the other side, so to speak. Oh, what?
Andy Dufresne, yeah.
Right out of Shawshank. Yeah, that's great. That's a great reference, Mark.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Good movie buff reference. Yeah, I don't. I think you'd have to ask them. I mean, it's hard for me to speak on that, but I know that I've got. I mean, you know, I've been around guys like Cam and TJ and Minka and Alex Highsmith 5 and 6, you know, seven years, so going on 7 years. So you know, they're just great guys and veteran leaders on that team. I think Pat Freiermuth, man, just seeing him mature the last few years and the way that he's, you know, how he's organizing, you know, player dinners and you know, we did that together a few times with the offensive skill group, and he's just really stepped up, you know, he's just really matured and from a leadership perspective, and guys respect him, man, the heck out of him, and it's fun to go to work with him.
He's a friend of the program, and of course he ripped on me instantly, so
naturally
it's become a theme. Yeah. With everybody that takes the time to come
that's
on.
That's all love. They wouldn't rip on you, Mark, if they didn't like
it. Exactly. That's what I try telling them. He doesn't listen.
It's a positive. It's a positive.
Yeah. You mentioned you still have a friendship and a relationship with guys like Kenny and Mitch, and I'm sure you keep in touch with a lot of guys. You spend all that time in the facility, in the quarterback room with guys, whether it's Ben or Duck or the aforementioned Mitch and Kenny.
Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, widen it out, though, to the quarterback fraternity at large. Other quarterbacks, I'm going to use Rodgers as an example here. Have you talked to him at all? And what is that relationship like with other quarterbacks once you've, you know, whether you've had to crawl through the river of shit, as Kaboom put it, or not? What is that relationship like amongst that fraternity of quarterbacks? And do you know Aaron at all?
I've met Aaron after games only, you know, over the years. I remember my rookie year, we played a preseason game there in Lambeau and kind of had a rough early outing. And, man, I it was so cool. I thought for him to come over and he said hello and kind of, you know, offered some words of encouragement and just kind of, you know, motivated me, keep working hard. Which doesn't happen a lot from all our quarterbacks and around the league. I mean, he went out of his way to say hello to me after the game, which I thought was awesome. But as far as the quarterback fraternity, yeah, I mean, I've had the pleasure of making a lot of friends. Obviously, you mentioned Kenny. You mentioned being in the room with him for 2 years. There's some great dude, great human beings. And but no, I have not heard from. Have no communication with anyone who's been discussed as potentially coming in here yet. I mean, you know, that's no Will and Skyler and they've been great. So.
Hey Mason, I would just like to let you know, Chris Mack is a professional. He had a minute questionnaire just to ask you in a roundabout way. If you ever talked to Aaron Rodgers,
I answered it.
Did you notice that?
And he did. I mean, this is how professionals work, Kabali.
He went all around just to get to the one point at the end there.
He never did it well.
Just go ahead and be nice and blunt about, hey, Mace, when's Rodgers getting here? Go ahead. Just do it.
You see him at Permanis?
He went in the polished Jake Tapper, Brett Bear spin. He got it. He got in what he could get in.
Oh, Mason. Well done. You may have to edit that out, Coach.
No, that's staying in.
I think I'm leaving on that one.
Yeah. Kabali's done. Too much of Rudolph being nice to Mac. Hey, seriously, thanks for doing this on the weekend, man. We appreciate it. You didn't have to take this much time, and we thank you for doing it. And we can't wait to see you back out on the field, man, at OTAs and then obviously throughout the summer up at St. Vincent and into games, whether it's as the one, as the two, just doing what you do, Mason, whether it's as the go-to guy or the guy that's there to support the starter. Again, we're talking in a lot of hypotheticals because we have no idea what exactly is going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but we're looking forward to seeing you back regardless of the situation, man.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Marky Mark. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. All right. Bring your Hokas. You know,
yeah, I just got a new pair.
Make sure you're well rested.
Here's the problem with the Hokas. I got like three different pairs now, but they all look the same, but they're three different styles. How's that possible?
just you maybe mix up, maybe go black and gold or go some flamboyant color.
See, I know you had the white ones. I don't think I can pull off the white ones.
I think you could. Don't sell yourself short. You know, yeah. Have confidence. Okay. New year, new you. You could come out, you could rock some pink with white, you know, turquoise Hokas. I think it'd be great for your image, for the brand.
For the brand. Yeah. I get it. I got it. I don't think I can pull off the pink or the yellow or the light blue. Or usually the ones that are on sale, right?
Yeah. Nordstrom Rack. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Mark's way of saying that he really only owns one pair of Hokas. And he just wants us to think that he has six that all look exactly the same.
I got three of them because I destroy them because I got like size 15 feet and I just destroy the hell out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Plus, they're expensive. I don't have Mac money.
No.
Keep who does?
Go, really? Though, like you could sort of leverage a deal, maybe a marketing, marketing deal. You keep showing up on the Mac.
You know, if anybody from Hoke is out there, Mace, you could be their sponsor, and I can just ride your coattails,
or vice versa. This guy's a man of stature. He needs comfortable feet. I think there's a commercial there that could be done that could cater to American population at large.
Yeah. He's an average everyday American just like you, Mark Caballa.
I did go to Primanti's yesterday. So
man of the people.
He is always. Mace, we appreciate the time, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
Sounds good.
Mason Rudolph. Yesterday afternoon we talked to him. He was nice enough to spend, as you saw, like a half hour with us there. Happy to bring it to you this morning here on Caballa and Mac. And I noticed it while we were talking to Mason. I mentioned it to you last night when we were texting Kaboom. And Jim on YouTube in the comments just noticed he's being very careful, Mason, with what he says. Didn't want to talk at all about what Omar told him about the quarterback room, other than the fact that, hey, obviously there's going to be four of you when you get to camp. And that makes sense. Like I said, going into this, Mason's well-polished and knows exactly how to handle himself in these situations because he's been in very similar situations since he entered the league. So it's not surprising that he knows exactly what to say and what not to say. But the vibe I got, and this is not based on anything we were told off the air or not, I get the vibe that he knows exactly what the plan is and that, much like you've said for the last 2 months, the plan is Rodgers comes in and starts. Mason backs him up. If for some reason Rodgers changes his mind at the last minute, then Mason is ready to be QB1.
I'm just curious of what Omar did tell him 4 days into free agency. I wonder what that conversation went like.
Hey, I think it's probably what I just said. Like, hey, we know you can be QB1 if you have to. But we've got a plan with somebody else in the works. Well, that
Fields was gone. Fields was gone by then.
Right. So was they Russ. Said, well, we no, Russ wasn't gone, was he?
Yeah, he was gone the 10th or something.
Okay.
I think Mason signed the 14th right around that time. He probably said, we don't want Russell back. Maybe they at that time, maybe it was that quickly they pivoted to Rodgers. I do not know. But what else could you have told him? I know Mason view this as an opportunity, his best opportunity to play, be a backup, but be very darn close to being the starter when you've got a potential 40. That, like I said, at that time, Fields was gone.
Right.
Two 40-year-olds or a 37-year-old and Wilson and 41-year-old and Rodgers, and you're a step away from a torn something or another to be in the starter. I'm sure that's what attracted him. Maybe not the most, but that's probably high on the list.
Well, and I think the interesting dynamic of when and if, I know you keep saying when and not if, but when and if Aaron Rodgers comes in, whether it's in the next couple of weeks or as training camp opens in Latrobe at the end of July, early August, there's a very clear, and as Mason pointed out, he understands it. He gets it. If Rodgers comes in, there's a very clear pecking order, right? Yeah. It's Rodgers, Rudolph, and the rookie. As I said, and I think I said it jokingly, like a week into free agency, right after they signed Mason. I think I came up with that phrase, Rodgers, Rudolph, and the rookie, not knowing that they would actually draft Will Howard at that point. But that is the very clear pecking order if Rodgers comes in. If
yeah,
Rodgers
even said it, I you can normally tell who what the pecking order is by how much they pay you.
Exactly. And so even if Rodgers is only making $10 million, guess what? It's still more than Mason's making. And so Rodgers is the starter and Mason's the two and Will Howard's the three. And
yeah, see, I'm fine with that. I'm fine to see if Aaron Rodgers has anything left. I think we talked about that the other day. Does he have anything left? I think we'll be able to figure that out right away when he gets here. If not, you can always pivot to Rudolph and not really be hamstrung by salary with Rodgers. And if
I do think if you bring Aaron Rodgers in, you're committed to him for 18 weeks. Even if he doesn't play well, I think you're committed to him. You're not benching Aaron Rodgers because as much as you've made a good point throughout the offseason, Rodgers isn't necessarily a bad teammate, right? You know, he kind of tattled on Mike Williams for running bad routes or whatever, things like that in New York. But he's not necessarily a bad teammate per se. If he got benched, okay, now we're talking about a situation that could go sideways very quickly. So I think unless Rodgers were to get hurt, and nobody's wishing that, but again, older quarterback, so it's always a possibility. If Rodgers got hurt, then it would you'd be okay going to Mason, obviously. I don't think it's a situation where if the Steelers are 0-5, and Rodgers has thrown 8 touchdowns and 12 picks, they're going to pull the plug on Rodgers. I mean, that would, I imagine at that point, you're probably talking about releasing him, and it's just, it's a disaster at that point.
But what does that hurt at that point? I mean, you're not committed in past this year. And if you can really tell, you wouldn't be able, you probably would not make him the number two. You'd have to release him.
Yeah. Rodgers is the starting quarterback or he's nothing. Like,
or he's not on the team.
Exactly.
I can see them moving on. I can see them saying, you know what, Aaron threw 5 games, just not working out. We're going to go with Mason. Will Howard's made enough strides in our eyes to be a capable number two.
And we know the darling that Will Howard is already, okay? Already. People haven't seen him throw one pass yet with a Steelers jersey on. And he's already a darling. And people, as you pointed out when we were talking to Mason, people have come around and they have got Mason Rudolph's back. I'm sitting here looking at the comments, both during the stream and on social media while that interview is going on. And it's 4-1, 3-1, 4-1 positive in Mason's favor, right? People talking about how they're supporting him now. If Mason has a good preseason, and I imagine he'll get a decent chunk of snaps in the preseason, and Will Howard has a really good preseason, and I imagine he'll see a good chunk of snaps too. And Rodgers, you know, only plays a few series and doesn't look great. There will be, we've grown up in this town. We know how this town reacts to quarterback play. If Rodgers either does not play well in the preseason and or gets off to a slow start in the first month, people are going to be readying their pitchforks and their torches to either get Mason in there or there's already people talking about getting Will Howard in there.
Yeah, I don't even think it takes that much because probably 50% of the people don't want Aaron Rodgers here already. Maybe it's the first incomplete path, you know.
The first INT people are going
to get him out of here. But, you know, if Rodgers comes, which I don't believe, I wouldn't bet the house on it. But it's,
next week, you think?
I'll bet the mortgage on it, maybe. I don't even know why you would bet a mortgage now I think about it. I mean, how do you even go about that? If he does come, I think their quarterback position might be a little bit underrated. There's a lot of ifs there. I mean, if Rodgers plays well, I still think he got some stuff left in him, and I think Mason still got some stuff left in him. Is it a long-term solution? No. But
it sets up the timeline sets up well now that you've got your year with Rodgers. You've got Mason as a safety valve if Rodgers gets hurt or is an abject disaster, like you said. And you've got Howard kind of sitting there learning. And you go into next year probably looking for another quarterback to add to the roster anyway. I mean, well, that's
still got Mason under contract.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's they've got options now. I know a lot of people want to talk like the sky is falling. They don't have a quarterback. And that's one of the things that's driven me nuts about this the whole time is that they've had Mason Rudolph signed, like you said, since March 14th. And he produced when he was given an opportunity to play regularly. He did. And so I still think they're a wild card team.
More so than a lot of quarterbacks are currently number ones on other teams.
Fair.
He's produced more. So we'll see. I don't.
Don't bet the house, but bet the mortgage. Ryan likes that.
I don't understand. You know, I wouldn't bet the mortgage. I mean, isn't the mortgage?
I think betting the mortgage is betting the amount of your mortgage payment. Like if your mortgage is $1,500, I'll bet $1,500, but I won't bet the house because that's $300,000 or whatever.
Yeah, if your mortgage $300,000, but you won't bet the house if you already have it paid off. See, all these sayings.
You're really slicing and dicing and parsing words here.
Even the one I heard today, obviously didn't hurt here. But what does it mean? It hit me like, what does this mean? It's nut cutting time. What nuts are we cutting? And what time does it all of a sudden become nut cutting time? I mean, who come up with this? Why?
Do you Google things when you hear them?
No, because it all comes up as like, what do you call it? Urban Dictionary? You can't go
the optimal that. Time to gather nuts before they are seized by other animals or buried in the snow.
I was thinking it was some testicles.
Why are we talking about cutting people's nuts off?
Well, we're talking about sayings that don't make any sense.
But this one I think does make sense. I think you just don't like the connotation in your own head of someone's nuts getting cut off.
It makes a little bit more sense when we're talking about the actual nut of a.
Did you really think it was alluding to someone's
testicles
being chopped
off?
Braveheart,
you know, disemboweling somebody. I thought that's what they were talking about.
We can all tell what you do on Saturday afternoons, by the way, because you've made both a Shawshank and a Braveheart reference.
Honestly, do you cut nuts or you pick nuts?
I mean, I guess some of them probably need to be cut from trees, right?
Oh, I think an almond, maybe.
I don't. There, you have a homework assignment for the next show.
I'm aware of how
find out how nuts are gathered.
I know how
Nut Master General Mark Cabali. That's your new title.
Not the almond, the cashew. The cashew's in like a little fruit, and it's so labor intensive to be able to remove the nut from the fruit that the people that do that in, you know, third world countries
just trying to get that nut.
Their hands turn black because of some kind of chemical reaction. Look at that. Because you know what? I went to Belize one time, and that's where I learned that at.
What? You've been to Belize?
On a cruise. We took a cruise to Belize, you know, right around the
Caribbean.
I'm
sorry. I've been led to believe you've never, other than going to cover games for work, you've never left Allegheny or Westmoreland counties.
What are you talking about? No, I did go to Hershey Park I know that's in Pittsburgh.
No, it's not actually Hershey Park.
In Pennsylvania. I went there last year. That counts.
Sure, we're going later this summer. Can't wait.
It's actually a
nice park.
Very nice park. Unlike one.
The problem is you get a lot of really rude people from New York and New Jersey who come.
We didn't run across any, but I think we went right around the 4th of July-ish.
Yeah, that's what we're going the weekend before the 4th of July this year. Can't wait.
Go and, you know, make yourself a Reese's peanut butter cup about this big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good place to go. Yeah, but I went to Belize on a cruise. And, we went to Caribbean. I don't know, whatever.
You say it either way you want there, big guy.
We went around the little circle of the Caribbean and stopped in Belize. And we went to the Mayan ruins of, see if I can pronounce this, Zunantinich.
I'm going to just take your word for it. I thought you were going to say Titicaca.
Zunantinich. And we went through a very, 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 very poor section of Belize where they harvest cashews and they make cashew booze, which our friend who spent the weekend in Chicago would know all about making illegal booze. Not mentioning any names. Would enjoy that. So
yeah,
that's all I know about the cashew.
It's not about cutting people's testicles off. Not cutting that's time is when it's time to harvest the nuts so that they don't get taken.
Well, unless you do peanuts, it's a bush. You just shake the bush.
Okay. Wednesday, our good friend Ross Tucker is going to join us. There will be many a Pennsylvania high school football story shared between Kaboom and Tucker, I imagine. That may take up the entire pod. Plus,
staying on the Whippio side. I'm not quite sure. Didn't he go to Wyomissing?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Wyomissing guy. Speaking of Hershey and that way. He had, what's his name, Mike North, the VP of scheduling for the league on the other day on his show. Talked to him about that. Talked to him what he thinks about Rudolph and Rodgers and all that. That's on Wednesday. May have another former Steeler and former, I guess you're never a former Super Bowl champion. Once you're a Super Bowl champion, you're always a Super Bowl champion. But may have another former Steeler, Super Bowl champ on Friday. A guy that's
not given enough credit for one of the biggest comebacks in Steelers playoff history.
Yeah, yeah. So some big guests later in the week. And, of course, OTAs start a week from tomorrow. So a lot going on. Make sure you've subscribed. If you have not yet, when we get to 1,500 subscribers on YouTube, we'll give away the autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet. And follow on all the social media, too. We should probably start doing some social media contests and giveaways throughout the summer, I'm thinking, Kaboom.
I don't know.
How
do I know?
Fair point. Okay, that's going to do it for today. Thanks a million to Mason Rudolph for taking the time to talk to us for as long as he did. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door, HAECK, heckteamhomes.com, and all of our sponsors here on Kabali and Mac. And go check out Kaboom's story on Mason Rudolph that is now up on his Twitter, his ex at Mark Kabali. And we'll talk to Yins again on Wednesday morning when Ross Tucker will join us right here on Kabali.